Well, a very good morning and welcome to St Margaret's for this service of Holy Communion on Pentecost Sunday. It's good to see you and it's good to be with you here this morning. As you know, that you cannot have an Anglican act of worship without notices, so that's what we'll do. Two notices, first of all. Firstly, they're in, I think, your service sheets. There is no service here next Sunday. There will be a joint service at Holy Trinity Pen at 10:30. So if you arrive here at 9:30, that means you'll be able to get to Pen in plenty of time for the 10:30 service. And then secondly, we have a notice about Lighthouse.
I realise I've come ill-prepared because I haven't actually brought any details with me, but I'll share them with you because I've been asked to. Lighthouse Hazelmere is running. It's the first full week of the summer holidays. I know lots of you have done it in the past, and it's getting back on its feet post-COVID, which is great. Just an appeal for all kinds of help, all volunteers, serving refreshments, helping out. Some people to help with teaching, site security, and just guiding parents to and from the site. It's going to be held at Hazelmere Church of England School this year. It's not going to be at William Ramsay School, so that's a big change. So it's going to be smaller as it gets back on its feet post-COVID. I will bring some details, not next Sunday, but I will leave them in the church. So if anybody would like to sign up, please come and ask. You can always ask Angie, who's far more knowledge on Lighthouse than I'll ever know, I think. But she's kind of the reason that I'm doing it now and we've got involved, and it's all very good fun. But I'll bring some details next week. Thank you.
Thank you. I think it's probably true to say if you want to volunteer, they'll find something for you to do. So, just before we begin our worship, I'm going to publish Bands of Marriage. I think Jack and Annie are here, aren't they? Do you want to give a wave? There you go. Nice to see you. Let's read your banns of marriage. So I published the banns of marriage between Jack Christopher Ballinger and Annie Louise Maxted, both of the parish of St Luke's Maidenhead, but with a qualifying connection to this parish. This is for the third time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why these persons may not marry each other, you are to declare it now. No, sounds good. What's your wedding day? 24th of June. Let's pray for you now as you count down to the 24th. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of relationships and the gift of marriage. We pray for Jack and Annie as they prepare for their wedding day, that you would bless them in the preparations, in the coming together, and in the years that lie ahead. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing our opening hymn. It's number 51, Breathe on Me, Breath of God.
Thank you.
So we turn to our orders of service on page one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Do please be seated. Jesus was asked, what is the best way to live? What's the greatest commandment? His answer was that the first commandment is to love the Lord our God. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And then he said the second is this, to love our neighbours as ourselves. There is no other commandment greater than these, he said. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. So as we come to our confession, we remember that we have not loved God with all that we are, and we have not loved others as we have loved ourselves. But God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit of God, we recognize the ways we have brought pain to you and to others and to ourselves. For Christ's sake, we ask you to breathe new life into us, to wash us clean and ignite the fire of love in our hearts again. So we pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect, the prayer set for Pentecost Sunday. God, who as at this time taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 3. "I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one says, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Clearly, I was very keen to sing the next hymn. We're going to sing number 290, "Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do please be seated. So as we heard from our first reading, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. It's the opening sentence. It's been a very hard season for us over the past few years. The COVID pandemic confined us to our homes and prevented us from gathering for worship and fellowship as a church and all sorts of community and work activities. We emerged into a world changed forever by the pandemic, and then war, an economic crisis, and we're grappling with the consequence of climate change and impending catastrophic environmental disaster. In one sense, we are all in one place. We are all in the same hard place, a place of vulnerability and uncertainty. Together in our hopes and our fears, gathered together from all sorts of geographies and culture and language and economic backgrounds. We're bound together as one people, one humanity, one planet, and we face these common threats that don't respect borders. And a bit like the disciples in our gospel reading, we are huddled together behind locked doors, waiting for Jesus to come among us and say, "Peace, peace be with you," waiting for him to breathe on us, waiting for him to speak the words we long to hear, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Before we go further, let's pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may serve you now and always. Amen. Amen. So Pentecost, from the Greek Pentecostus, simply means 50th. Not very exciting when you translate it, is it really? It was a Jewish festival celebrating the spring harvest and the revelation of the law given to the Jewish nation at Mount Sinai. And guess what? It was 50 days after Passover. In the New Testament Pentecost story that Luke tells us, the Holy Spirit descends on these 120 believers gathered together in Jerusalem on the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection. And as we heard, the Holy Spirit empowered them to testify to God's saving work in Jesus, in his death and in his resurrection. And he emboldened them, particularly the Apostle Peter, to preach to this bewildered crowd of Jewish skeptics from all over the known world who had gathered in Jerusalem, and brought in 3,000 new converts into the church in one day. I'd say that was a good day in church life. And so for many, this is known, for many Christians, Pentecost is called the birthday of the church. The story that Luke describes is sort of a fantastical one. You know, it's full of details that challenge the imagination. You know, there are these tongues of fire. There's this rushing wind, and there's this bold preaching and mass baptism. But is at its heart, the Pentecost story is not about spectacle and drama. It's about the Holy Spirit turning up and transforming ordinary, imperfect, frightened people into the body of Christ, the church. It's about God breaking into the settled ways of doing the sacred, and so that something new and something holy can be born within and among us. It's about the Holy Spirit carrying us out of our fears and insecurities and into a radical new way of engaging God and our neighbour. Luke records that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. And when the crowd heard this sound, they came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. And it was that hearing, it was the fact of their comprehension confused them. They were not confused by the message themselves. The message came through with perfect clarity, but it came through in their respective languages. What the crowds found baffling was that God would choose to speak to them in their own mother tongues, that he would welcome them so intimately with words and expressions that took them back to their roots and their cultures and their countries. And it was as if God was saying, "This fledgling church, this new body of Christ is yours. You don't have to feel like outsiders here. We speak your language too. Come in, feel at home, all are welcome here." As Christians, we place great stock in our language, in our words. We are sometimes called the people of the book. We love the creation stories from Genesis. in which God burst the whole cosmos into being by speaking, and God said. It's echoed in the Apostle John's dazzling words about the incarnate Christ at the start of his gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And on Sunday mornings, we profess our faith in liturgy and psalms and readings and creed and music. In short, we believe that language and words have power. And on Pentecost Sunday, the Spirit of God unleashed words and languages. And in that articulation, both surrender and humility were required. Those who spoke had to bravely stand up and speak out far beyond their comfort zones. They had to risk vulnerability in the face of indifference. And they had to do so without any guarantee of welcome. They had to trust that no matter how awkward they felt, how inadequate, how silly they felt, the new words that were bubbling up inside them were nevertheless essential words for those who would hear. The right words, precisely ordained for the time and the place that they occupied. And the crowds also had to surrender and be humble. They listened and they had to take risks. They had to suspend disbelief, dropped all their cherished defences, and opt for wonder instead of contempt. They had to widen their circles and welcome strangers with different accents into their midst. And we read, didn't we, that not all of them quite managed that. Some sneered because they couldn't bear to be bewildered, to have their neat categories of belonging and exclusion exploded in their faces. Instead, like their ancestors at Babel, who scattered at the first sign of difference, they retreated into their well-worn narratives of denial. Nothing's new happening here. This isn't God. These are blubbering idiots who've had too much to drink. But even in that moment and atmosphere of suspicion and cynicism, as some people spoke, so some people listened. And into those astonishing exchanges, God breathed new life. He breathed new hope. He breathed his peace. He breathed his Holy Spirit. The Pentecost story is a story for our time, for this time in which we find ourselves. As the world grows more and more tribal, as we're challenged by pandemic and war and economic crisis, as we face the environmental challenges around us, as nations, as people, as faith, even as faith communities, as we seem, it seems, turn on each other out of suspicion and selfishness, where words change meanings and become even more toxic, where the threat of fake news and language threatens to destroy us, never has there been a time when we've needed such brave, bold, border-crossing acts than we do now. It's no small thing that the Holy Spirit loosened tongues to break down barriers. We revisit that on this birthday of the church. In the face of indifference, God compelled his people to speak and to engage. They had to trust that no matter how awkward it was, how inadequate or silly they felt, they were the words for this moment. In the face of fear, through his people, God, through Jesus, breathed forth peace. Out of the heart of indifference, God birthed the church. Now, I don't know whether this is good news or bad news. This is the last occasion I shall be with you during your vacancy. I think it's a cause for celebration. Because Samuel will be licensed as your new vicar in just over 2 weeks' time, on the 15th of June. As God's people, we may be tempted to grow complacent, or to despair, or to turn in on ourselves, to forget that we are part of something bigger, something much larger. But as God's people, and at this turning moment in the life of this benefice and of this church, You are being called afresh to take a risk, to bravely stand up and speak out beyond your comfort zones. Pentecost is not about drama and spectacle. It's about Jesus breathing his Holy Spirit on his people. It's about God showing up and transforming ordinary, imperfect, frightened people. It's about God building and growing the body of Christ. It's about God breaking into your settled ways of living and doing something new so that something new and holy can be born. God desires to pour out his Holy Spirit on you so that you can learn new ways, new life-giving ways of being the church, being the body of Christ, living and loving for a frightened and imperiled world. And so, happy birthday, church. Happy birthday, brothers and sisters. Receive God's peace. Receive afresh his Holy Spirit, that together we may grow into all that Christ longs to pour into us, his beloved body, at this crucial time in your story and the bigger story in which we find ourselves. Let's pray. Faithful God, who fulfilled the promise of Easter by sending us your Holy Spirit and opening to every race and nation the way of life eternal, open our lips by your Spirit, that every tongue may tell of your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church on Whit Sunday, we thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit and for hearing our prayers. A prayer for Whit Sunday. We praise you for sending the Holy Spirit to be our comforter in times of trouble and our inspiration in times when we reach out to others in the name of Jesus. Each one of us has been blessed by Jesus to receive the Holy Spirit in faith, hope, redemption, and resurrection. Help us to accept and be inspired by the Holy Spirit, touching the heart of others and sharing God's love with everyone around us. Help us to be kind to one another and to encourage others, perhaps here for the first time, to discover Jesus in our neighbourhood and in our church at St. Margaret's. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, a prayer for leaders, especially our own. We pray for our world leaders at this dangerous time, that they will use their immense power to do good and not harm, and to collaborate in solving and not creating wars, famine, poverty, disease, and climate extremes. Let there be peace and reconciliation in our world, and let love overcome mistrust and conflict. We pray especially today, Whit Sunday, for the end of brutal wars in Ukraine and Sudan, the threats of new global conflicts, and famines in Africa and other countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are precious to us, especially those who are suffering from illness, anxiety, loneliness, or bereavement. Help us to reassure them that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with our responses to their difficulties. We pray for those listed on our notice sheet. Samuel, our new vicar, and his wife Linnea, as they prepare to join us. King Charles, as he establishes his reign. Mervyn Shepherdley on his return home from hospital. Peter Sachs and Stuart Charlton and family on the loss of dear Anne. Paul and Jean Ricketts, daughter-in-law Amanda, now home and clear of cancer. We pray that this will continue. Christine Nesbitt, recovering from home after her hip operation. And Caden Edwards, now on his final phase of chemotherapy, and for his parents, Catherine and Simon, and for his grandparents, Derek and Elaine. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the Whit Sunday blessings we enjoy in your beautiful creation. Help the Holy Spirit to inspire us to share our Christian love with others so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. We stand to declare our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God has made us one in Christ. He has set his seal upon us, and as a pledge of what is to come, has given the Spirit to dwell in our hearts. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please offer one another a sign of peace. Peace. Going to sing our third hymn. It's number 1202, Come Down, O Love Divine. And you, people take the wine, don't they? going to use the prayer that's on page 10, prayer 3. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
You are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth, for by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image, and placed us in the garden of your delights. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again, you drew us into your covenant of grace. You gave your people the law, and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you reveal the power of your love made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. On the night he gave up himself for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, we proclaim the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, may these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Look with favour on your people, and in your mercy, hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth. Heal the sick. Let the oppressed go free. And fill your church with power from on high. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. We sit or kneel to pray. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Open for you. On page 18, we pray together our closing prayer. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name through Christ our Lord. Amen. I think they've had a very exciting young church this morning, and you're right at the back of the church, but you've been making something this morning. Do you want to sort of, can you wave so that everyone can see what you've been making? There we go. So they've been making Pentecost tongues of fire. Oh, and balloons as well. Come and show me then. Come and show me, Oliver. So you've got balloons.
Yeah.
And what's this?
Down my fire.
Okay. So this is the Pentecost fire.
And we do that.
Oh, so you throw it up in the air and it sort of spins down, does it?
Yeah.
What, fabulous. And what's the balloon for?
What's the air like? It's like the Holy
Air, like the Holy Spirit.
The air is like the Holy Spirit.
Okay, fabulous. That's good, thank you very much.
One more.
Okay. There we go. Yaha. Okay, we're going to sing our closing hymn. It's 551. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son.
Thank you.
And now may the Spirit who hovered over the waters when the world was created breathe into you the life he gives. And may the Spirit who overshadowed the Virgin Mary when the Eternal Son came among us make you joyful in the service of the Lord. And may the Spirit who set the church on fire on the day of Pentecost bring the world alive with the love of the risen Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and all those you love and pray for, now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.